Good afternoon. If you will grab your Bibles and turn them to 2 Timothy. This afternoon we're going to spend a lot of time in the book of Timothy. As you're turning there, I'd like for us to consider a couple questions just to think about as we introduce this lesson this afternoon. The first question I want us to think about is, who is useful to the master when it comes to a faithful service? And the second question, who will be the most profitable servant for our God? If we would ask this question to the people we come in contact, what would be some of the answers we would get? You know, I think the most common answer probably would be, it is the elderly that have been on the earth longer and had the most experience, the most study in God's Word. They have studied more and their knowledge is wisdom, some might say. And I think this is true. And it should be true. But I also look, if you think about the question, who is useful to the master in faithful service, I think we also need to consider the younger. The younger have a role to fulfill in the usefulness of the church. And this is what we're going to be studying today, and how Paul encourages Timothy throughout the two epistles of Timothy. You know, we can easily, and I am guilty of this myself as the older I get, of looking down upon those that are young. Perhaps not by taking their obedience to the gospel seriously. Perhaps by expecting very little of them in service to the Lord. Or perhaps even preventing them from serving because of their age. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12, Paul was writing to the young evangelist, Timothy, where he tells him, let no one despise your youth. It says in 1 Timothy 4 and verses 12, let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith and purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation, to teaching. Do not neglect the gift that you have, which was given to you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Verse 15, practice these things, immerse yourself in them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teacher, or on the teaching. Persist in this, for by doing so you will save both yourself and your hearers. Paul took Timothy under his wing like a son, or some translations mention him as a child, and gives him several words of encouragement each time he's talking to Timothy. But also, along with encouragement, he also gives him some warning concerning the things that he would go through in his ministry. If he's going to choose this life to teach and to preach the Word of God, he's going to come across some things that he needs to be warned of, especially as a young evangelist. And this is where we're going to spend the rest of our time today in the sermon, talking about young Timothy and how he was influenced to live faithfully to God. So I asked you to turn to 2 Timothy. We're going to start reading in the first chapter, starting with verse 1. Throughout the sermon today, we're going to be reading several scriptures out of 2 Timothy. And I think it'll all be good for us to listen to these words and apply them to our life. And you'll see that Paul, even though he's talking to Timothy, is truly talking to us as well. 2 Timothy 1, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of the life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved child, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remembered you constantly in my prayers night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I might be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, dwells in you as well. For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and of love and self-control. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his very own purpose, or his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, for which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and teacher, which is why I suffer as I do. But I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard until that day what has been entrusted to me. Follow the pattern of the sound words that you have heard from me in the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. By the Holy Spirit which dwells within us, guard the good deposit entrusted to you. Paul shows through this reading a short description of Timothy's current state, his current state of faith. And he gives his credit to his mother, Eunice, and his grandmother, Lois. Not much is said about their personal, anything about them personally throughout Scripture, and gives detail about their lives and how they raised Timothy. But in these few verses that we just read, a short description, Paul shows to each and every one of us who they were and exactly what they had done in raising Timothy. Paul describes them as having an unfeigned faith. The King James Version says, my version that I read out of the English Standard Version says, sincere faith. A faith in God that is unwavering is what that means. It's a faith that is not shaken. It's true. It was a faith that was not pretending or hypocritical. So day in and day out, they lived and trusted in God. What a way to be remembered in this life. Can we say that in years to come, will we be remembered for raising our children? And not just the children that are physically mine, but those even around us here this morning or this afternoon. That we had, that this generation served God and have served God to their death with an unfeigned or the sincere faith in God. You know, I personally have a responsibility to lead Addison and Avery and Aiden to heaven. But I also have a greater responsibility of that even to make sure that each and every one of us here today go to heaven. And I think if we look at it in this frame of mind, if we all have take on the responsibility for one another, then we will understand how great and how awesome that responsibility is. You know, a lot of times we look at the younger generation and, you know, we shake our heads at times and we think, you know, what are they doing? You know, what are they thinking? What are they focused on in life? What do they quote-unquote call important? But is that all we're doing? Are we doing anything to guide them? Are we guiding them in the way that they need to go? Not forcing them to be, which could actually push them away further, but guiding them to have a love for God and a desire to follow Him. You know, we must recognize that kids need to be kids. But we need to also balance their fun with friends versus being grounded in their own faith. Being grounded in the faith. Because one day, sooner than we even expect, and sooner than we hope, they will grow up. Those friends that they have, those friends that they surround themselves with, whether it be of this world or, and sadly, even sometimes within the church, will be the same ones challenging them the most when it comes to obeying the Lord. They will challenge them to the point that they would also maybe potentially fall from the grace of God? Will they be ready to serve God faithfully, or will they sadly be counted among those that are lost? Paul starts giving young Timothy warnings along with the encouraging words that he gave him concerning those things that he will face while preaching the Word of God. In the text we've already read in verse 8, he says, "Be not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord." And he continues on saying, "But be a partaker of the afflictions." He's telling Timothy to keep this unfeigned faith, this sincere faith that you have, the one that you've been taught, keep that through the persecution that you will go through the suffering you will go through. And keep it like Paul did. We look over the life of Paul, and we see all the many persecutions, the imprisonments that he went through. And he tells Timothy, "You suffer like I did. Be not ashamed." In verse 12, he says very encouraging words to all of us. Paul says, "Timothy, for I know who I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Think about that. What confidence Paul had in his life. What confidence he had in God that all these sufferings he went through would pay off in the end. Let's, if you will, turn to Hebrews real quick. I'd like to look at a passage there. Hebrews, the 13th chapter. And I want to start reading at... Let's read verse 5, starting in verse 5. It says, "Keep your life free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you." Verse 6, "So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?" In our suffering through life, and we will suffer, do we boldly say that Jesus is our helper? He is our comfort? Or do we fall beneath the fear of what men might do to me, what they might say of me? I encourage you, as Paul encouraged Timothy, to be not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. I'd like to continue on in 2 Timothy. In the second chapter, we're going to be reading the next section, verses 22 through 26. 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Says, "So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know what they breed, or you know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil after being captured by him to do his will." Something I get from this reading is Paul recognized that Timothy was still a young man. And as a young man, he was likely to do things in life that were not going to be the best decision. They were not going to be the wisest choices because his wisdom was still young. He had a lot to learn. But he warns him, saying, "Avoid youthful lust." In our world today, running away is often considered to be cowardly. It's not the cool thing to do, but wise people realize that removing themselves physically from temptation is often the most courageous thing they could do. Timothy, a young man again, was warned to run from anything that produced evil thoughts. Knowing when to run and remove ourselves from situations in life is as important in our spiritual battle as knowing when and how to fight. Paul tells Timothy to flee these things and follow righteousness, follow faith, follow love, and follow peace. These are things we need to add in our lives in becoming soldiers for the Lord. And he continues on saying to avoid foolish and unlearned questions or ignorant questions. As a teacher, Timothy was going or would be helping those who would be confused about the truth. And Paul's advice to him and to all of us who teach, which should be all of us, is to be humble, is to be patient, and to be considerate while explaining the truth in God's Word. You know, one way we can grade ourselves on how our teaching others is going, how that study is going, this doesn't mean that the result is always going to be someone that's going to obey the gospel, but good teaching or godly teaching will never promote hate, will never promote anger, if we have the humbleness, if we have the patience and the consideration, as we should. You know, throughout my lifetime, I've witnessed the necessity of Paul's advice to Timothy. I've seen many relationships that are broken and many souls that are lost and have turned away completely because of not knowing how to study and how to teach the lost without avoiding this strife. Let's read again, if you will, 2 Timothy 2, verses 24 through 26. It says, "And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, after being captured by him to do his will." We need to remember that the goal of teaching others, to preaching to this lost and dying world, is so that all may escape the snare of the devil. We're told in Hebrews 12 and verse 1, that sin that easily besets us, that easily ensnares us. The next section I want to read, if we'll go to the third chapter, we'll be reading the first 9 verses. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. "But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people. For among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sin and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at the knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. But they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men." A couple years ago, we were on a vacation in Florida, and we studied with a group down there. And this was actually the section that we read and we were studying on through the Bible study. And there were several things that caught my attention. That's really the purpose of this whole lesson. The first 9 verses describe a group of people. And I feel that this possibly could be considered those in the church. Verse 9 starts with, "But they." They are brethren that are arrogant. They are foolish. They are out for their own selves. They pretend to be God's people while they are, as we read this description, lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, and the list goes on and on. it is easy for us to be a Christian on Sunday. It's easy for us to be a Christian on Wednesday. But how are we living each and every day? Are we the ones being described by Paul when we are around those of the world? We buckle under the pressure to follow the world and not stand up for God. You know, it's easy for us to sit here, and a lot of times we do this. We go and talk about everyone else. We talk about the people of this world. How could they be so sinful? We talk about the denominational brethren, how they just can't get it right. We talk about just down the street, you can find error. But what's scarier is these "but they's" that we read of. Could they not be in the church? Could they not be here in this building tonight? We need to make sure that we are not the "but they's." Paul describes, as we just read, all these characteristics of individuals and how they're living against the ways of the Lord. But then in verse 10, he quickly changes his mindset and talks about you, but you, Timothy. Starting in verse 10 and through verse 15, he says, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecution I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and what you have firmly believed, knowing that whom you have learned it, and how from childhood you have acquainted it with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." He says again, "But you, Timothy, don't worry about the they's. You follow what you know, what you have been told from your childhood, and what you've seen in me." Not just, or he again tells Timothy that you will suffer for doing what is good. Not just suffer when you go out into the world, but suffering when it comes to even those that are close to you that even profess godliness. Verse 12 says that all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. I ask you today, are you ready to suffer? Are you living godly? Because if you are, you will suffer. We may not suffer the things that Paul and Timothy suffered, but are you ready to suffer for Christ Jesus? Or are you going to be the "but they's" that buckle down for their own sakes? Again in verse 14, Paul tells Timothy, "But you continue. Continue in those things which you have learned and you have been assured of, have firmly believed." Many times in life we hear false teachings and they sound comforting. And out of context, a lot of times they even sound right. They make sense. But we need to continue in what we have learned. And we go to the Scriptures to confirm whether those things are true, like the Bereans in Acts, who searched the Scriptures daily to confirm whether these things were so. I want to take a few minutes and just look at this phrase. Some versions mention it as "have been assured." The one I read says "have fully believed." This describes to me, I think, the difference between knowing and understanding the Scriptures. I think it's easy for many to know what the Scriptures say and what they mean. But are you assured, or are you convicted of the truth? We become convicted of the truth by hearing, as we read in Romans 10 and verse 17, hearing the Word of God. Reading it daily, as we talked about in our Bible class this morning, and discerning what God is telling us. We oftentimes hear enough to know God's Word, but are we convicted again of its truth? If we are, then we will live faithfully. we will live with an unfeigned or a sincere faith. If we do, the but theys will not get in our way. They will not get in our way for the service of our Master. So, as Paul mentions, but you continue. Moving on in chapter 3, we're going to read verses 15 through 17. And how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Timothy had an advantage that many of us today have as well, and that we've known the Holy Scripture, and he as well knew the Holy Scripture from his youth. You know, in our day and age, we have the advantage that we can go directly to the Scriptures, and we can search online for answers to questions and disagreements we might have. But what we understand, and sometimes we take for granted, is that we have the Scriptures to where we can test. We can be assured of. We can have confidence, as we were just talking about earlier, with our assurance. You know, how many times, kind of as we somewhat talked this morning in our sermon this morning, how many times have the Scriptures been tested over and over, and only to be found proven even more? Now, they may not want to admit it, but the Scriptures keep being confirmed of being true. They are there for us to give confidence and prepare us for any situation that we face in life. We understand, as we just read, that the Bible is the inspired Word. It is inspired from God. Because it is inspired, it is trustworthy. And we need to read and apply it to our lives. The Bible is our standard. It is our safeguard against false teaching. It is our guidance on how we should live. It is our only source of knowledge on how we can be saved, how we can have that hope in heaven. But how much time do we give in taking advantage of reading God's Word and preparing our hearts to service for Him? Today I urge you to look at your life and determine if you are living your life like Paul and Timothy, with that unwavering, sincere, unshaken, not pretending faith. Or are you like they? They who are out for themselves, pretending to be godly one day and the next day turn to the things that sound pleasing to the ear. We have mentioned a few times already and looked at the importance placed on reading and hearing God's Word. But do you believe what God is speaking to you? In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 6, Paul says with confidence, "I have kept the faith." We see this here, that he has took on his responsibility, his personal responsibility. And again, with confidence, at the end, towards the end of that verse, he says, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul believed. Paul was assured that God would keep his word if he only obeyed God and his word to his death. He would be rewarded for the suffering that he endured, the persecution that he went through, the imprisonment. There was a greater reward. If you want that assurance, like Paul, then you must confess that Jesus is the Savior that died on the cross for our sins. And again, as we mentioned in our Bible study, confession is more than just a statement before being baptized. Confessing God is the way we live. Confessing God is the way we talk to one another. It's how we live and when we talk when we're around others and even with ourselves. And then to be saved, we must be baptized. We must be immersed in the water for the remission of our sins. This is not an outward display for what others or for others to see our belief, but is the obedience to the Lord's command. It's the obedience to the things that He has written in His Word. There are, at times, many reasons that run through one's mind when it comes to not obeying God's call. And those reasons may consist of what others may think or what others may say. But what did Paul tell Timothy? He said, "But you continue. You continue in the things that you have learned and you have been assured of. Assured of the Scriptures that are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ." If there is anything that we can do this afternoon to give you and help you with that assurance, that confidence, we ask you make your wants and wishes known as together we stand and sing.